church, I long to have better habits in my life. Am I the only one? I don't know. Am I alone in this? I long to have better habits in my life. I want to have better eating habits and better exercising habits and better sleeping habits. I have long been a night owl. I stay up late, go to sleep really late, and wake up early, or wake up in the middle of the night. Oftentimes, I just have horrible habits sleeping. I struggle to get back to sleep when I'm waking up in the middle of the night. And I know that my bad sleeping habits are the result of other bad habits that I have. Like, I'm a procrastinator. I wait to the last minute to do things, which keeps me up late. I know that there's some things that I can do to help this, maybe regulate it with medicine or some other things. But if I'm really truly being honest, a lot of my bad habits are simply the result of just bad choices. And so having better habits or implementing better habits in our lives oftentimes is just a matter of choice. This holds true for other habits, with eating, with exercise, and work performance. And this is what we're after in our spiritual lives. What small tweaks can we make in our lives to embrace better habits that would give us life-giving and life-fulfilling ways? That's the prompt that we're working with throughout this series. That's what we talked about last week, the power of making small changes and embracing some holy habits. Over the next several weeks, we're going to explore some of these habits, hopefully to inform our lives with regards to the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, where Paul tells the Corinthians that we are taking every thought captive and making them obedient to Christ. Taking every thought captive and making them obedient to Christ. What would our lives look like if everything we ever thought, everything that entered the brain, everything was taken captive and made to be obedient to Christ? And what I'm proposing is that some of these holy habits, it gets us in a place where that becomes our default setting and not the exception, taking every thought captive and making them obedient to Christ. Let's pray, and we'll continue this series with today's holy habit. Holy God, thank you so much for the gathering of the Lord's people, for the blessing of having a copy of the Bible with us, that we might read it, explore it, digest it, meditate upon it, memorize it, and allow it to inform who we are. God, today, open our hearts and minds to a better understanding of who you are, who we are, and how the scripture can inform us about both. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to open your Bible almost to the middle of your Bible, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to use about 8 verses from Psalm 119 to inform us, to launch us in this sermon. 119, we're going to start at verse number 129. Psalm 119, verse number 129. I've shared in numerous occasions regarding Psalm 119. It is a beautiful psalm written in a very poetic and creative way. There are 176 stanzas or 176 verses grouped in 8. Each section, if you start in the first 8 verses, all of those words in the first 8 verses begin with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. And so if you're reading it in Hebrew, every word will begin with that letter. Then when you go to the next 8 verses, that would be the second letter in the Hebrew, third letter, so forth and so on, all 22 letters of the of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a beautiful acrostic written hymn, and we're going to jump in the middle of this beautiful psalm, Psalm 129. Listen to what it says. The theme throughout is about the psalmist's love and connection to God's word. Psalm 119, 129 says, "Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give light, it imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name. Keep my steps steady according to your promise, and never let iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because your law is not kept." So, here are the numbers. According to Lifeway Research, from a survey they took in 2019, those who responded to this survey are people who say they go to church and they're members of Protestant churches. 32%, this was in 2019, 32% of churchgoers said they read the Bible every day, 32%. 27% read it a few times a week. 12% read it once a week. 11% read it a few times a month. 5% read it once a month. And 12% say they rarely, never, ever read the Bible. Now, most churches are adamant about the importance of the Bible in the life of the church. Our church has been identified, we've identified that Scripture is one of our values. I did a series last year where we talked about our different values. We value surrendering and submission to God, giving our lives to God, and the beginning stage of that is through baptism. It's a value of ours, and discipleship, and that's learning to become more like Jesus in all that we do, and worship. The gathering together and coming together and worshiping together, but also our individual giving our worship to God as demonstrated through the words in Romans 12. Communion, and this idea of not just the eating of the bread and drinking of the cup to memorialize Jesus and celebrate the body, but also this idea that we have a common union, and so we seek to be united with God and with one another. Generosity, this idea of not just giving of money, but giving of ourselves and our services and our resources, and Scripture. Scripture is a value of ours. We hold the Bible in high regard. We want everyone to have a Bible, to read the Bible, to study the Bible. Now, I could speak for hours and days and weeks and months and years about this topic because of the importance that the Bible has played in our life as a local congregation and our affiliation with the acapella churches of Christ. Our history with the Bible goes hand in hand. But let's be honest. When it comes to Bible reading and engagement, even within our fellowship, it's waning. We don't read our Bibles like we ought to. We don't read our Bibles like we should. We're not in our Bibles as regular as we purport that we do. Now, many see this as a problem that is plaguing our country, and the moral decline in our country is because we're not reading the Bible, we're not reading Scripture, and that might be true, but I have to tell you, I'm less concerned about that. I'm more concerned that the people and folks that say that the Bible is so important never pick it up to read it. That's what's troubling me, is that Christians who profess Jesus and say, "Oh, I'll give me the Bible," and sing all the Bibles, the B-I-B, we sing the songs, but we don't read the Bible. Now, what if we took a survey here in this worship service, and I ask everyone here, like, who here reads their Bible every day? And if I asked If Sundays were the only time you even heard Bible verses, like how would you answer? And I'm not going to answer or ask that question here. I don't want to embarrass anybody, because it should be that all of us should raise our hands high, that we're cracking open the Bible, even if it's just to read a verse, or that we're getting an alert on our phone and we read a verse. And I'm not just saying we see the verse on our phone and say, oh yeah, there's a verse, but we actually read the words and think about them for a moment. Most of us, we just don't do that. We struggle with that. I'm not asking about your comprehension or your understanding. I'm not asking you if you can read a verse and put together a sermon or a teaching or a class or give me some theological underpinnings of it. No, I'm not asking. I'm just asking, do you simply read Scripture every day? Now, what researchers report from the data that they collected is that less and less people are regularly reading their Bibles, and this is being supported by anecdotal evidence. Just ask the average Christian, do you read your Bible every day? And most Christians will say, no, man, it's a challenge. I'm trying, and I'm not knocking effort, because I think we all try to do it. But the execution of it, we simply are not reading our Bibles. And the reasons for the infrequency for reading our Bibles are plenty. Here are some of the reasons that people report for not reading their Bibles more frequently. A lack of time. I'm just too busy to crack open our Bibles. I just spoke about this idea of busyness. That is just plaguing our lives. We are our calendars are full of things, but that's one of the things that people are listing as a reason why they're not reading their Bible. Some are just saying, look, the Bible is just too difficult to understand. This is all these words. I don't what's an Abimelech? I don't know what that is. I don't know who that is. How do you say it? And I just don't understand it. I don't write. Some simply, and these are church people. These aren't people outside of church. These are not people who are not Christian. These are people who are in church saying, I don't find the Bible relevant. It's outdated. It's just gone. It's beyond where we are, or we're beyond where the Bible came from. Competing priorities. The biggest competing priority, I'm going to throw it out there, is this. It's this. I'm going to try to get into a habit during worship service to just turn this thing off. It just buzzes and rings, and I get alert after alert after alert after. And we, even when we're reading our Bible, sometimes in our alone time, if we have this next to us, we're likely to be reading, really getting into it. And then, oh, what? The Yankees lost again? Like, I mean, that's competing priorities. Inconsistent habits. So those who say, I don't read like I should, they say, man, I just don't have a good habit of Bible reading. That's what we're talking about, right? And then the last one is not surprising, is that when people find themselves struggling spiritually, just don't read their Bibles. Now, church, all the above reasons that we are not reading our Bibles are the very reasons we should be reading our Bibles. Does that make sense? Every one of those reasons that we list, go back to that list. Every reason on that list is a reason we should be reading our Bibles. If we're too busy, if busyness is getting the best of us, we need to stop and read our Bibles. If we have difficulty understanding it, read it more. Get used to it. Read with other people. We'll talk a little bit about that later. If we feel like it's not relevant, read it more, and you'll start to see that, wait a minute, this stuff is the stuff I'm going through. They've been going through this stuff for thousands of years. Competing priorities. God should be our first priority. Getting in contact and close with Him ought to be our biggest priority. All of these reasons are the reasons we ought to be, should be reading our Bibles more. Speaking to his young protege, Paul wrote to his young protege and evangelist by the name of Timothy. We read a text last week about Paul writing to Timothy saying, listen, you know, exercise is good for the body, but so are these spiritual exercises. Continuing, Paul writes this, these are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Why the public reading of Scripture? Because back then, everyone didn't have a copy of their of a Bible. Some communities might have the ability or have in their possession a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. But most groups didn't have that. And the only time you could consume Scripture is when there was the public reading of Scripture. And so Paul says, give attention to that, because it's important that we read Scripture and hear Scripture and digest Scripture and feel Scripture and experience Scripture. Some communities were so good at hearing and listening to Scripture that often, several people could memorize words of Scripture after just hearing it one time, and then they would repeat those Scriptures to other people. At the time of this writing, when Paul wrote that to Timothy, they would have had a possession or access to Old Testament Scriptures, Hebrew Scriptures, but many of the Scriptures that we go to, Luke and John, those books weren't even written yet. Mark may have been written, but we don't know that it would have made it to this area. They didn't have what we have. We have been inundated with the blessing of resource, with plenty of Bibles. There is no one in our community and society, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, but there is no one in our community or society that does not have access to a Bible. If you are here this morning and you need a Bible, I will give you a Bible. If you have a cell phone that is a smartphone, I mean, maybe you still roll with the rotary phone. I don't know. If you still roll with the rotary phone, you might not have this. But if you have a smartphone, I know I talk bad about this, but let me talk good about it for 1 second. If you have one of these, you have a Bible. We have Bibles. With all the Bibles that we have, we're still not reading it. In the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, there are many texts that would serve as words read publicly for the benefit of God's people in the church. Later, Paul would share the value of Scripture in a passage that if you've grown up in the Church of Christ, this is a text that is familiar with you, from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. All Scripture is inspired or God-breathed, inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped at every for every good work. From last week's sermon, the goal of implementing habits is so that we train to hold every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. Reading Scripture is a habit that informs our goal of holding every thought captive and making them obedient to Christ. And so here again, the connection that the psalmist has with God's word. Here, Psalm 119, verse number 129. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. With open mouth I pant, because I long for your commandments. And the psalmist also says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. The psalmist also says, how can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes with my lips. I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist loves God's words. And the way to fall in love with God's word is to spend time with God's word. The habit of engagement, reading scripture. I just shared the reflections of a follower of God who made it their life to engage with God's word. When it comes to God's word and scripture, what would our meditations and reflections be? If I asked someone here to give me a reflection, a meditation from your own heart about your interaction with God's word, like what would it sound like? What words would you use to describe your engagement with God's word? For many of us, let's just be honest. It would be, I don't have one, because I'm just not spending time. I don't have a habit of reading scripture. And reading and engaging with scripture, if reading and engaging with scripture has been an issue for you, we need to ask ourselves, why? Is it a lack of time? Is it a lack of interest? Is it a spiritual struggle that you find yourself ensnared in? I am not a hard preacher I'm hard on myself, though. And if I ever utter the words, I don't have enough time, it's often that I confess right there that you're being foolish. Because you do have time. Because I read other books. I watch television. I watch sporting events. And often those things take hours. And the fact is, often we do not choose to take 5 intentional moments. Just read scripture. Just 5 minutes. I love what one author wrote about scripture. He said, "We read scripture in order to be refreshed in our memory and understanding of the story within which we ourselves are actors, to be reminded where it has come from and where it is going to, and hence what our own part within it ought to be." Another author said this, "The Bible is primarily a book not of information, but of formation. Not merely a book to be analyzed, scrutinized, and discussed, but a sacred book to nurture us, to unify our hearts and minds, and to serve as a constant source of contemplation." Let me offer some hope. You can step out of the bad habit of not reading scripture into a good habit of reading scripture. Just like that. Like the bad habits we engage in, it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. It's going to take repetition. If you have a bad habit of not reading scripture, you've practiced at it. Well, let's practice reading scripture to get rid of that bad habit. And in harmony with the tone of this series, it simply may take just some small changes. That's what we talked about last week, right? Is the power of small changes. I am not going to ask you, if you do not have a habit of reading scripture every day, I will not ask you to go read the entire Bible by next week. That's a huge task. I'm just asking you to make a small change. And in many of our lives, it's just as simple as this: making a choice to do something daily that you know won't hurt you, but will help you. will strengthen you, will get you through some of the issues you're going through, will help you with some of the challenges, will help you to have a better perspective about all the busyness that we invite in our lives. This is something that will help you. So here is a couple of ideas, a couple of some help in establishing a brand new habit of reading scripture every single day. The first thing I would say is we have to eliminate distractions. I keep going back to this thing, but this at church camp, we made a rule at church camp that we were going to try to wean ourselves off of this just strong appetite for cell phones. And so when we ate dinner together, no cell phones. When we had worship time, no cell phones. When we had fire circle time, no cell phones. By the end of the week, you had kids who had forgotten that they had cell phones because we weaned them off. Now, today, I'm sure they are going to digest a whole lot of cell phone, but this is such a distraction. If you want to have a daily time of reading scripture, go to a place where you know you won't be disturbed. You won't be disturbed by a cell phone. You won't be disturbed by the computer screen. You won't be disturbed by the dogs wanting food or to go outside. Go somewhere where you know you will not be distracted and just spend a few minutes reading scripture. You have to make a commitment to do it. I would even suggest make a time to do it and don't compromise on your time. I'm going to spend 5 minutes every day between the hour of 7 and 8 reading scripture. Even if there's something coming up, it's an emergency happening, I'm going to open my Bible between that hour and I'm going to read a verse before I go on. Make a commitment to it and don't compromise it. You have to open your Bibles. I would recommend that you not use your phone as your Bible during your private reading time, especially if you have a bunch of notifications and alerts. My wife is always talking to me like, Dion, what else is your phone going to chirp and alert to next? It just, if I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to get a notification alert. So I can't use my phone as my Bible. I would recommend that you use a Bible or if you're going to use your phone, put it in airplane mode, turn the Wi-Fi off so you don't get any notifications. Get rid of all the distractions. The second recommendation is start small. If you don't have a daily practice of reading scripture, I'm going to read all of the Psalms this week. I'm going to read the entire book of Genesis this month. Just start small. It may be all that you do is just read the same verse. You read John 3:16 every day, every morning. It may be that you read one of these parts of Psalm 119, 8 verses. You just do that same one. Just read that every day. Start small. It may be, and I'm not opposed to this, it may be that you listen to Scripture. Get a good Bible app that reads the Scripture to you and just listen and hear the words of Scripture. There are some wonderful apps and Bible readers that have voices that really take you into the world of Scripture. That's okay. Start small and then move on to bigger chunks if you desire. Here's a big one. Read Scripture with other people. Reading Scripture with other people is an encouraging way to keep you reading Scripture. I have some friends that have a discipleship group, and that's what their discipleship do. They read a chapter a week in the Bible, and they meet together once a week, and they discuss what they've read. Now, there's beauty in that. One, you're doing it with each other. Also, you get to hold each other accountable. Hey, we're meeting tomorrow night. Did you read your chapter? You hold each other accountable. I believe that the Bible was written in such a way that it was meant to be read in community. Tap into the wealth. There's another idea. Tap into the wealth of resources that we have. You didn't have Bibles back in the days of Paul and Timothy, We have Bibles all over the place. We have apps. We have everything we need to get us in touch with Scripture. And here's the last one. Stop making excuses. Listen, I'm talking to Dion too. Stop making excuses. We're not too busy. We're not too busy. We might have some spiritual struggles. That's a confession. But we're not too busy. Let's stop with the excuses. What I provided in the back as you're going out where you get your communion, there's a half sheet of paper, look like this. And on it, there is a resource for you that helps you to incorporate a daily habit of reading Scripture. There are about three or four options. I think the first option is every day this week, pick a time, pick a place, read, and just read an eight-verse stanza of Psalm 119. I think the second option is every day you're going to read a different section from Psalm 119, six selections. I think the third option is that you read the entire Psalm 119 this week in 6 days, start Monday and Saturday. It's broken up into about 24 to 30 verses a day. You'll read that every day. And the fourth option is that you read Psalm 119 every day, but break it up into three readings during the day. So morning, afternoon, evening, you read Psalm 119. Choose the option, if you want to use this resource, choose the option you feel comfortable with. If you have not been reading, don't start with the last option. Start with the first option. And maybe by day three, you say, you know what, I want to go to option two. Or maybe by day four, you want to do option three. And maybe on Saturday, you say, you know what, I'm going to read all of Psalm 119 today, three times this day. It's just a resource available for you. You do know that if you follow us on our Facebook page every day, there is a daily scripture and a daily thought that is written on the Facebook page. If you follow Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, just press follow. You'll get that in your notification. We have wonderful individuals that are making sure that every day, 365 days, 366 days this year, every day there is a passage. And you should know that if you're reading that, there is someone else reading that with you. The beauty of reading in community. If you want to know more about reading in community and the power of that, talk to Bill Raper about that, who is actually part of the reason why we're doing this on Facebook now. This is a resource that's made available to us. One final story of I was teaching class at church camp, and we were talking about reading Scripture, and I had a wonderful class where I'm asking about their daily practices of reading Scripture, and these, you know, juniors and sophomores and seniors in high school talking about, yeah, I wake up every morning and I have a devotional book on my nightstand, and I get up and I read. Again, just giving me so much hope for this generation, as much as we cast them as, you know, being hopeless and lost. But here they are saying, we read Scripture every day, and I have to use things to help me. There was one comment that really blessed me. It was a young person who said, you know, I found myself getting into this rut where I was going to church, and man, they weren't singing the songs like I wanted or the songs I wanted to hear, and man, church is just really just kind of boring. But I really dug in to reading Scripture every day as a regular practice. This is a senior in high school talking. And this senior said, as time went on and I began to read Scripture daily, I found myself wanting to go to worship. And I found myself not thinking that worship was boring or uninteresting. And I found myself engaged. What that high school student discovered is what many have discovered through their research, is that people who spend daily time in Scripture often feel better physically, feel better mentally, they're more productive. They have a better view of the world. They don't get wrapped up in the silliness that's going on in our world right now. And they enjoy God's people more. A small change can bring about powerful, life-giving change in our lives. Church, I'm begging us all to implement a habit of daily Bible reading. It's going to do us good. It's not going to hurt us. It's going to bring us together. It's going to bring blessing. It's going to bring a better mission in the world. It's going to bring better worship. It's going to bring better prayer life. We're talking about prayer next week. It's going to bring about better Bible study in groups. It's going to do us good. If you're not reading your Bible every day now, start small. Start with something. These are holy words in our Bible that have been long preserved to bless us, to bring us life and hope. And we know that. So why wouldn't we spend more time with it daily? Just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. It's an invitation song that speaks that truth about these holy words long preserved. If during the singing of this song, we can be in prayer with you about anything, any need that you have. This is an opportunity where you can come forward and share that need. If there are other needs that you want to share, perhaps it is your decision today to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Last week at camp, we had 8 baptisms in Pleasant Hill Lake. It was just an awesome, awesome experience as these 8 young people said, I'm ready to follow Christ with all of my life. We can do that here too. Don't have to go to camp. Don't have to go to a lake. We got water back there. We will baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Let's sing together.